What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The Therapy is a Christian podcast is all things mental health and Christ. We specifically talk about how mental health and God are merged together to foster growth, healing, and making mental health a normal conversation. I'm your host, Rosin Renee, and welcome to the show. Hello and welcome to the Therapy is a Christian podcast. I'm your host, Rosa Renee. Welcome to another episode of the show. Hey, girl. I'm finally recording. Girl, it has been some time. We had a time, sis. Okay. And girl, I am so excited to share with you on this episode just a little bit of a life update. And also just kind of give y'all a little bit of a recap of the season. So if you've been following the podcast for a while, thank you for sticking and rocking with me thus far. If you haven't and you're new here, welcome. My name is Rosin Renee. I am a licensed therapist. I've also been a podcaster for close to 4 years now. This is the Therapy is a Christian podcast, but we're not going to go into all that, girl. Anyway, I wanted to give y'all a little bit of an update on life. As it has been about close to 2 months since I've posted a podcast episode without it being like an interview. I can't even remember the last time I actually recorded a podcast by myself without it being an interview. This year, and I shared this on Instagram, but I was telling in my Instagram that if I had to describe 2022, I literally would probably say it's that gift where Tiffany from Flavor of Love was like, pick somebody else. I'm not addressing this crowd right now. I'm at a 10 because I feel like I've been at a 10 literally sis for the longest. So I think the last time I recorded a podcast by myself was like May. Girl. And I think even then I was really struggling. So pretty much to give you an update, since March, I think February was a little rocky, but I don't think I noticed it really until March. I've just been in a season, and so much of that season pulled a lot out of me, and I'm feeling like I'm on the other side of it. And I think that it's very hard to talk about what you're going through in the middle of a season that's challenging because you don't normally have the language of what's happening. Or if you do, you don't even have the emotional capacity to share. And in having a platform of this kind, like a podcast, no matter how much I may try to will myself to sometimes have the endurance to press through and share and be available to my audience, I just was not well in my mental health, and it was just really hard for me to share. And so in this episode, I'm going to talk about life update, but I want to have some points to share with y'all. I'm going to be talking about seasons of struggle and suffering. I'm going to talk about, which may become a whole nother episode, but what I've learned from actually being a therapist one-on-one with clients has taught me about faith. And then lastly, what it might look like to wrestle with God. And I think that I'm learning that these conversations are valuable to have. They're valuable for people to have language. I think in general, as believers, we desire to have an understanding of what is happening for us spiritually. And when we don't know what's happening, we kind of resort to our default, which is sin. And sin can look different for everybody. It could be seeking out comfort. It could be running away from God. It could be completely wanting to avoid your faith. It could be not spending time with God. And not saying that that's a sin, but I'm saying like those things kind of become domino effects. It could be being like, God, I'm gonna do this myself. And we completely abandon our spiritual walk to walk it out on our own. It could be just, you know, all of these things that trickle down into us eventually getting to a place where we feel lost. And I think that's kind of where I was, but still trying to navigate through it. And I think also in seasons of suffering or seasons that are challenging, there is a true, I think, questionable place, which is valid, of why is this happening, Lord? So for me, in transparency, but also still holding some things very privately that I'm not fully comfortable with sharing, a lot of stuff shifted for me business-wise. So I shifted my business completely to doing counseling, which before I was doing coaching, which y'all have probably heard me talk about before. And that was very lucrative for me, very lucrative. And I loved coaching. But I had recently got my counseling license and I felt the nudge from God to like switch my business over. Additionally, I was very burnt out with having to like show up on social media a lot, kind of just maintain being available in that way, and really didn't have the capacity to create the systems for that. I was doing a lot on my own. I'm a solopreneur, of course. I've been in entrepreneurship for a year now and I just really questioned everything. So switching to counseling, which requires a lot of emotional capacity because I am assisting people in carrying their trauma and being available to them, is really a humility part. And it takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of emotional awareness. And I don't think I prepared myself for that. And so in understanding all of that as well, financially things were different, and also parenting is GHETTO. Okay, my child is literally 1.5 and I feel like I have a whole on teenager, even though I know I don't. But in saying that, to say like parenting is challenging, but also fighting the true like pride of I gotta show up on social media, I gotta be there, and really, to be honest, y'all, I just didn't have it. And so I think God allowed me to go through a season of true I don't even want to call it rebellion, but just like I became very angry with the way things were. I wasn't happy. I wasn't very aware that I wasn't happy, but I think when I finally realized I wasn't happy, I got mad that I'm not happy and I'm not enjoying this, because the reality of the situation is that I've done mental health for so long. That's all I really know. So why am I not happy with this? And really questioning God about like, why am I in this place? And it was like that for months. And so I didn't realize it was pride, but I went back to my default sin of, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. I'm going to kind of maintain control of this or try to figure this out on my own, which is easy to say now, but like in the interim of that, you sometimes don't know you're trying to take control. And really what I realized is that I was struggling without the Lord. And I think to address doing things with God is a whole nother topic for another day. I think that when you're in a place where you're struggling and you're trying to do it without the Lord, and when I say do it without him, it's like I wasn't spending time with God. When I would come to God, I would feel very frustrated and complaining. I wasn't really trying to sit to listen. I would go to everybody and their mom and their auntie and their grandma to like talk about what's going on. And although community is valuable, I think I wasn't even receptive to what community was telling me because I just was so angry. Additionally with that, there are a lot more personal things that happened. And so timeline wise, I just was like, this isn't going to work, Lord. Like, what is happening? And so also feeling as though there was a pivot to, I think also when you do things in a way where you're trying to pursue the things that God is calling you to, you feel very heavy. And there's a space, I was talking to a friend today and she kind of named it, where there's limbo between you wanting to fully accept the thing that he's pushing you towards versus what you want. And there's a lot of you dying that has to happen. And I don't think I realized that I was in a place of like my flesh literally dying. I think I just was like, this is ghetto. I'm upset. Really, I wasn't even saying those words, girl. They were like harsher words. And it just wasn't fun. And so I just did not have the emotional capacity to show up. And although I don't think people take that as like obligation, but I think when you've done it, like I've shown up on this podcast almost weekly for close to 4 years, when you've done something for so long, you can feel like it becomes obligation. And truly my only obligation is to my family and the Lord. That comes first. And then everything else that flows from that is truly because I have the grace or God's given the grace to be able to maintain it or do it. And so it's really hard when you feel guilty a lot or you feel obligated or you feel bad about not showing up, but I just was on empty. And so I say that to say, because I really want the next couple of podcasts to talk about this suffering season, because I think in some ways we don't, I think, realize all the time that suffering is supposed to happen or is going to happen. And it's a part of the plan, I think, of life, that suffering is supposed to happen. We, I think, as believers, but I think even too as African Americans, and I know that's not the majority of my podcast, but, you know, my other counterparts of other races know too, just how much suffering really is hard for us to process through, because at some times suffering triggers a lot of trauma response in whatever way possible. And I really want to delve into what I feel like God has shown me. Our trauma responses can sometimes be defense mechanisms and cause us to sin. And they push us away from the place of righteousness when we're trying to maintain that. And it's very hard to do that when you aren't doing it without the Holy Spirit. And really giving Holy Spirit the space and the place in your life to do so. So I want to teach you all what God has kind of revealed to me over the course of time in the last 4 to 5 months, because it's really March, April, May, June, July, August. Girl, baby. Girl, I think it's been 6 months. Wow. Just about struggle and suffering. Struggle and suffering as a parent, as a wife, as a believer, maybe just a person that's trying to obey the Lord, as a person that's, you know, doing, you know, trying to get to a goal or a place. I think it's very important that we talk about this, because I think as a community and a body, it's a process. And even though we don't enjoy process, we have to go through process. And I think if there was more language and more things that we discuss, this could be more of a place of refuge and understanding that at the end of the day, God is still good, even when he doesn't feel like it. Because truly also when you're in seasons of suffering, the Lord does not feel good. Like, I remember there was a time, a long period of time where hearing scripture was even annoying. Hearing somebody tell me God's going to work it out was annoying. Hearing like the resistance to anything related to God was so prevalent because I was so angry. And I think anger is normal, and it's an emotion that I think but the Lord has given us. But knowing how to navigate that is very important. And I also think that I've learned a new level of understanding that God can handle my emotions, because he gave them to me. He gave emotions to all of us as humans. And I think the capacity in which we process and deal with emotions is necessary, but really understanding that sometimes the way we process emotions and respond to them can be trauma responses. They can be very isolating. It can bring triggers of depression. It can bring triggers even to point of where somebody may feel like they don't want to live anymore. Like, those are real things practically. But also spiritually, the devil only wants us to get to a place to destroy us. And because we have Jesus, it is so important for us to know there is hope at the end of this, and that at the end of the day, God is still good. And I can only say that now, sort of on the other side, because again, truly nothing has really shifted. Perspective wise, things have shifted because I feel like I'm doing it with God. And so I also want to address, with seasons of suffering, there are times where we feel and can hold on to seasons where we were really good with God and we almost covet or like really desire to be back in that old place, that we stay stifled to when God brings new seasons or things that are very hard, and we get paralyzed to not move, or we get paralyzed that I'm not at this old place where it's like every time I heard God's name, I want to bust into tears. Like, that is not often the reality of where we will be in our faith. And to stay in those places of old seasons is understanding that you are going to have to grow. As you progress, there will be seasons where there is not good things happening. And so to stay in a place where you feel like you have to stay in this old place or even do things that you used to do is not practical, nor is it helpful to feel that way. But that doesn't mean the old things you did, like prayer, spending time with God, spending time with community, listening to things that pour into your heart, aren't helpful. And so I think that's also where I was, of just like, I can vividly remember seasons where I was like super good with God. I was hearing him about my business. He was talking to me consistently, or I heard, felt like he was opening it up to me consistently, to where silence. And even still today, like, I still often feel silent, but I feel more guidance by the Holy Spirit. I feel more hope. I feel more peace. I feel more energy, enthusiasm about this walk. And I think there just, again, needs to be conversations about this. And so that's really around the struggle and suffering piece. The other thing I want to address is, as a practitioner who does counseling now with clients, primarily my clients are adults. I don't serve teenagers. I really realize, like, I don't think that's my area of focus. Pretty much primarily I serve around 20-year-olds to, I think my oldest client is in her 50s, with some of the work that I've done, but primarily millennial age, so around, or Gen Z, so kind of around 20 to 35, 38 is around the area I serve. I serve Black African Americans and whites, and I've had some like other races as well. I genuinely enjoy serving all of them, actually. And so everybody offers a different lens, but I say that to say, what I've learned as a practitioner about faith is, I think it's rocky for all of us. Like, I don't think that there's a measuring stick on who is or isn't struggling. I think that everybody has different things that they deal with, and we've all been impacted in some way by something. To lie and say you aren't impacted, I truly think it's just avoidance to a real issue, but that's a whole nother story. What I've learned about faith as a practitioner is that we as a people are just learning about trauma. Even as a therapist, I'm aware and really have this experience, and maybe in the last 7 years of my work, about trauma, but the real impact of it is extremely, insightful. But also that, as someone who is like reading about trauma, seeing it play out with people, I think what I've also learned is that it really, really rocks us. And our responses can be unknown. So whether you are an avoider, if you're someone that doesn't feel like you need help, if you're a perfectionist, if you're someone that struggles with people pleasing, if you are someone that struggles with codependency and self-esteem, or you react emotionally and impulsive, if you are someone that may even like struggle with something like ADHD, like that's something I know I've talked about, like I was diagnosed with ADHD earlier this year, just like those factors can play a part into it. But I've also learned more recently that conversations around these things are never far from the Lord. I even think they're so close to him. I've been reading a lot in around some of the things in the Bible of just how bad people were, like just so wicked, just so bad. But that their humility before God and vulnerability and ability to be extremely vulnerable with him just allowed grace to happen. And I say grace, but also just more so God moving. And I think that we negate at times when we are going through seasons of struggle like this, that it can be hard to see God in the middle of that. The other part of that I think I've learned as a practitioner is that healing takes time. I've become more understanding that I struggle with patience and really stamina to like see things through, like just to be honest, because I want things my way, to be honest with you, child. And because I want things my way, there is a lack of patience there. And my ability to try to fix it is just very, very minuscule to the way God can do things. Healing takes time. I have been in therapy for 4.5 years. And that's not a stamp of a badge of honor. It's more of just like saying the amount of awareness, whereas I thought I was good, maybe the first year into therapy, the practice of going through more counseling is just only revealing more of what I've realized for myself individually, that it takes a lot of time to unravel some of these things. And I can only imagine what the lifetime work that the Holy Spirit has to do in us to get us to a place of righteousness, which will never be fully perfect. But wanting to walk it out, walk out your walk with God, because even though you're saved, practically, yes, you get saved, you have eternal life, but the walking out part, the sanctification piece of being extremely sinful to walking things out with God to become righteous, is a process. And coupling that with processing trauma, processing hurt and pain and people who have legitimately hurt you. And I think what I have felt more than anything over the last couple of months is the grief God feels. I think we put a lot of our thought process of what we think God thinks are like, oh, he's not in control or he's not doing anything. But I truly think, and now what I've learned is like sin is very abundant in this world. And because of that, people are going to be prideful. People are going to do things. And I think it grieves God so much than we probably give it credit for, of just how much it hurts him to probably see the state of the world the way it is.
This episode of the God and Mental Health podcast is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. I am so excited to tell y'all about this brand because it has been so helpful to me. So I am not in my 20s anymore. And as I'm getting older, I'm really kind of understanding a little bit more about my hormones after having 2 kids. I'm really understanding like my mood shifts, my fatigue, sometimes my stress throughout the month, especially during those cycles of time before my period. So I recently started researching cycle seeking, and it was so helpful for me because I really kind of began to understand these different changes when I am feeling overwhelmed, when I am feeling tired, when I am feeling like my mood is different, I'm also just experiencing some of those kind of early PMS symptoms of like bloating and gassy and poor sleep and kind of racing thoughts and low mood. And so I started doing some research into cycle syncing and kind of came to understand that our different periods before our cycle change because of our hormones. And so I was thinking about a way to combat this, and Happy Mammoth is a brand that I think is going to be super helpful to some of my audience and might be experiencing some of these things. And so I think a lot of times we kind of associate our different moods with something's wrong with us, or that there is actually something that we're struggling with mental health wise, but not really understanding that as a woman, we naturally have up and down moods because of our hormones. And so for me, if you are someone that's maybe in your mid-20s and you're kind of seeing like during different periods of the month, you're more sad or you're more overwhelmed, this might be a good opportunity for you to maybe supplement and try to combat that with some of the amazing products at Happy Mammoth. So I want to talk to you all about particularly one specific product called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormone changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And it means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. If you're someone that definitely struggles with maybe bloating or maybe sleep or even racing thoughts or low moods, Hormone Harmony would be perfect for you. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order with Happy Mammoth. Just use the code THERAPY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPMAMMOTH.com. And use the code THERAPY for 15% off today. Now, let's get back to the show.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
And I have felt that in moments. I have felt a lot of anger at times towards the church and faith in general. I felt very angry about people who are in have platforms and high places and just are extremely prideful, and you can see it. And I have just been like, God, why is it like this? Why? And like, people aren't paying attention, or people aren't seeing. And even probably for myself, just like more so the things that I've seen for me inside of me, like I'm not even representing. But I think we all have to come to a place of general understanding that at the end of the day, God does know what's going on. But it grieves him. I think it grieves him extremely. And again, we all have the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved. Well, I don't say we all have the Holy Spirit, because not everybody had the Holy Spirit. But he can be grieved. And so it saddens, I'm pretty sure, God to be disconnected from his kids, or feel like he can't help because of a genuine lack of sometimes our understanding or our ability to want to be in control. And so there's grace for that. I have had many days more recently of just being tearful over God keeping me, even when I wasn't in my right mind and very angry towards him, like keeping me to try to maintain this walk. Because at the end of the day, without ambition, none of that really matters. And so lastly, just to close, and again, I can go into more detail about what I've learned as a practitioner about faith, but more so than anything, wrestling with God and doing it without him. I think one of the things I've learned is the true impact of, like, when you're working out things, and I want to talk about wrestling with God and, like, also, like, working out things, like, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Like, I want to really, like, kind of give the context. I think because when it comes to, like, really wrestling with God, your flesh really is trying to keep you at comfort. Your flesh really, really, girl, wants you to, like, turn up and be like, if it all, baby, whatever, I ain't gotta deal with this. Your flesh really does not want to accept anything related to the faith at all. Nothing. It doesn't want you to be kind. It doesn't want you to be good. It doesn't want you to be free. It doesn't want you, it wants you to be in despair. I can even remember there was a time, girl, there's been so many things where I've tried to get back to that place of, like, God, I know you're here. I just am struggling. I remember doing, like, a self-sabotage workbook, and I was processing with God just where I was emotionally with career. And I remember thinking to myself, if I try anything new, I'm doing something wrong. And that was a true thought for me. Like, if I leave this and go somewhere else, or if I just kind of abandon my work in mental health, like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And it led me to down a road of just kind of, like, trying to, like, pursue another career. And even still, I'm kind of navigating through that desire. I wrestled with God about that because I felt like, you told me to do this, so I have to stick with it, but I am not happy. And I think there's grace in God even allowing me the opportunity to choose something else. But that wrestling with him is my flesh being like, I want this thing. I don't want what you told me. And regardless of what that is for you, whether you're in a single season and you're wrestling with God about healing first before you really step into another relationship, like, that time frame of, like, how long is this gonna take, or, like, what is gonna happen, you fight it because you're like, this is not what I want. I want comfort to be with somebody. And so what I've realized more so than anything is that wrestling without him is more detrimental and probably causes more time to happen, but there's still grace for that. I've often even thought that he will restore time, but we can spend more time negating that by trying to be in limbo and just not being fully accepting of whatever because we are struggling. Even as a parent, like, I know there's this whole thing about practicing gentle parenting, girl, but, like, that is a real thing for us right now with our son. He's in a very, like, everything is issue. I mean, literally this morning I gave him a sippy cup with milk. He wanted milk. He wanted it in a bottle, but because it was in a sippy cup, he was so angry. I literally just, like, put the sippy cup in his mouth and he started drinking it. But before then, just whined. And I'm like, how exhausting is this that you don't even know what you want? Okay. But I say that to say, you know, that is me being triggered by a 20-month-old that literally doesn't know what he wants. But at the same time, it's navigating through, like, I don't want to destroy my child because of my triggers. And I don't want to destroy, quote unquote, my calling or the things that I've been called to do because of my triggers of what my flesh wants. And really, what my flesh wants is to cause me to sin and be away from the Lord. And so time with God was very non-existent. I think there were moments where I would try to press into getting back into my quiet time. And y'all have heard me talk about this before. It's not a religious thing. It's genuinely, I truly think it's our lifeline. It does not have to be a religious thing, but it's necessary to be in the presence of God. Allowing him to be your dwelling space. And so more recently, over the last, maybe it's been 4 weeks now, but me and a friend were talking and she was going through the same thing. And we just started an accountability of waking up early in the morning, I wake up anywhere around 5:30 to 5:45 to be downstairs in front of my word by 6, because I get my son ready at 7 to try to get a solid hour. Now, sometimes it's like 6:15, but I do not try to go Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday without doing it. And there have been days I missed. I mean, genuinely, like, there are some days I just sleep in, but it's not often. It has not been often in the last month. That's been the most grounding thing I've done. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of days I don't get much out of my time. It's not a monumental, like, I've said this before, like, it ain't no, like, oh my God, like, this whole thing where I'm bawling in front of my Bible. Like, girl, it's not. I think it's just the faithfulness to try to seek what's happening. And truly, some in that time, I wasn't even praying out loud. Like, truly, prayer has even been a challenge. I've just been writing everything out, just like writing my emotions. And I'm thinking about publishing the devotional. It's kind of like a time with God journal thing, but like, I've been using it consistently for a month and it's been a game changer. So if y'all are interested in that, let me know, DM me on Instagram. I've been using it, but it forces you to write your feelings out, and it also gives you a space to like have gratitude and also write out your emotions and your devotional and all that kind of stuff. So using that has been very impactful, to be honest. And it has been the most grounding thing. And over time, I feel like doing that, I've just seen God break my heart down in ways to be before him. So ultimately having a full breakdown and being like, Father, I just really need you right now. And so it's just shifted a lot of things. That's been the most grounding thing. But I think I, at that point, acknowledge that I'm doing this with you. I can't or no longer can do this without you. It is very hard to do things without God. No, I'll take that back. It can be very easy to do it without him, but it won't be long standing when you are his. It is easy to do things without God, but it's not sustainable, nor is it long standing when you are his. Because when you are God's kid, I think that you can't really go long periods. Like, you can, but you are not satisfied. Like, you'll be satisfied in the moment, but you are not satisfied fully. You're not genuinely fully satisfied. And I think for me, that's where I was. Just like, I knew there was a rift. I knew there was some dissatisfaction. I knew that he was the one that can fix it. Jesus is the only one that can do this. And I think knowing that has been hard, because it really reinforces the fact that I'm not in control. And when you know you're not in control, it's really hard for you to like come to. It's a humility pill, to be honest with you. But I would rather do it with him than not, even though, girl, it is so ghetto. But I'd rather be in the land of the living with God than not be. And it's getting easier to acknowledge that really it's my sinful nature that really just wants me to be away from him. And so trying to do that while you're healing, when I say my heart, my entire heart goes out to you all who are healing through trauma, who are faced with the reality of what your parents did, of what a spouse did, of what your child may be doing or what your child may be experiencing right now, or health-wise, or just true like trauma and how it's showing up. My heart is with you. And believe me when I tell you, if my heart is with you, I can only imagine the love and genuine intentional concern the Father has for you, even when it doesn't feel like it. It can feel very isolating. It feels like your emotions are literally unraveling and you don't have a handle on it. And it can be very longstanding. I remember just going through a lot of the processing that I went through in counseling. And I will say, I'm fortunate to have some awareness because I've been to school for some of this, but it doesn't take away from my experience, and I think my heart is with you. It's very hard. So I just wanted to say that as a means of being with you. If you're grieving right now, all of those things, those are things that are very, very necessary for you to be supported with in counseling. So more podcasts to come. I have literally an arsenal of podcasts that I cannot wait to share with y'all. More information based, but also I'm going to tie faith into a lot of them. But they've been like, as things come on my mind, I'll just like put them down as a topic because I think they're just necessary to revisit, but also navigate through. So be on the lookout for that. I'm thinking about, and I had a friend ask me to do another Time with God challenge. We did it at the top of the year with the society, and then I've done them over the last couple of years. I have to really pray about what that looks like, and I want to do it different. I don't kind of want to do the same thing I've done. So if you're interested in that, let me know. And yeah, I will be sending out more emails actually to my email list. So if you're interested in that, please join my email list. I'll leave the link below for you. It's been, when I say it's been a dry 2022 for me serving you all, it's been dry, baby. But I want to get back to that. And I know you all understand time. So thank you for that. Thank you for your grace towards me in that way. Anyway, connect with me on Instagram, girl. I have been showing up on there. And when I tell y'all, I am my full authentic self. Okay. One thing I have learned in this season more recently is I am myself and I don't have to hide that. And I am a whole goofball in real life. Okay. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Follow me on Instagram, join the email list. Let me know about all the things that I asked you. And more things will be coming, and I love y'all so much, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com. And get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.